Hello and welcome to Geek Speak, where support comes from your membership and from Louis, the computer guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected. Info at 948-7992. Also from Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. This is Geek Speak. I'm Marty Reinerson from Bluebee Interactive, along with Louis the Computer Guy. Hello, Louis.
Hey, Marty. How are you?
And Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Hello, everyone.
Sounds like you little help desk call there, Matt.
What's that?
What's that noise there? Was that my phone?
No, that was me, man. That was one of those hideous websites that just foists a video upon you.
Well, I'm glad you did that. It reminds me to turn on my volumes down.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. It's bad radio.
We're silencing our devices.
Yeah, very bad radio. Speaking of devices, Louis, so I got my Pixel 2, XL Pixel 2, the big one.
Uh-huh.
So I'm very excited, very happy with it. Although it's amazing, I don't know if any phone's really worth $1,000, but that's what they cost now.
That is the question that many people are asking themselves, no matter what phone.
Exactly.
Because we have definitely hit the $1,000 barrier on the phones.
Well, I was always going for like the refurbished phones. And, you know, getting two or three, you know, maybe 2 years out of a refurbished phone for $300 or $400. But the problem with phones now, your smartphone's like a computer. It's like once it doesn't do the security patches anymore, it's just dead. And that's what my Google Nexus 5 was approaching. It had like 6 months life left. And it'd be like $200 to fix the power thing. So plunked it down for the XL2. This should last, you know, at least next 4 years or something, I would hope.
Yeah, you know, I've been hearing a lot of people speaking very positively about the Pixel 2.
Yeah, so. No, I really like it. You know, of course, I haven't had a large phone in a while. A lot of these features, of course, are because I skipped two generations that other people have already had, like the fingerprint sensor, which is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, you put the finger up there and do that. Although, I guess the new iPhone is going to have some kind of facial recognition.
Well, it's about time.
Yeah. So you don't have to do the fingerprint.
Oh, the NSA is so happy with everyone.
Exactly.
Yeah. They'll have all your biometrics on file.
That's right.
For you.
Well, the nice thing about the Pixel is it's a really clean version of the Google iOS or the Android iOS. It's not bundled with all this other stuff.
Yeah, it should be plain Jane.
Well, yeah, I got to say it's about time because, you know, I got really, really jaded about the Android OS, you know, with my – actually, I bought it was a Lenovo.
Yeah, there's just so much
tablet
there.
Tablet device, and it was just like, you know, I couldn't believe the rigmarole. I was just trying to watch Amazon video.
Yeah,
and the rigmarole to like update the OS on it was like, I'm going, you know, I'm a computer geek and I'm glazing over.
Exactly.
You know? So
I really like the Google Assistant, of course. Uh-huh. You know, that's been around for a while, but I did figure out I made alias to the microphone settings so I can turn it off because it's kind of weird how the phones are always listening to you. Yeah. And but the really cool thing is, and it's still primitive, is they put the Google Lens on this on the Pixel 2 is the first one to have that, where you take a picture and then you hit Lens and it'll look at it, will actually figure out what the picture is, and then it'll send you a link or tell you where you're at.
It's
not really working well here in the Roaring Fork Valley just yet, but like when I was in New York last week, I was like Grand Central Station. You just take a picture of Grand Central, you hit the button, boom, it knows you're Grand Central.
Wow.
And then it sends you a wiki
link. You can do facial recognition on Grand Central Station. That's impressive.
Yeah. Well, so. It actually was the inside, but basically I did like the hotel I work at, and it didn't recognize the hotel, but it recognized the van website. Our website was on the van, so it didn't pull up your website. So with Google Lens, certainly you can take pictures of business cards and boom, it'll take you straight to the link. Of course you can type it in, of course, but it's just a way of Google wants you to start searching instead of typing stuff in, just taking pictures and searching for things. So I haven't tried like pointing soapers yet and that kind of stuff, but
sure. Well, that is some cool stuff.
Yeah, it's some cool stuff. Yeah.
I'm definitely feeling right now at this particular moment in time like, you know, I could take 2 weeks off and, like, just stretch my technology to its wit's end and learn a whole bunch of new things that it'll do that, you know, It's like, I mean, I've just become a master of AirDrop in the last few, you know. AirDrop has saved my bacon in the last week, you know, which I don't know if you're familiar with what that is or not. But
no, I'm not.
It's basically as long as you have Bluetooth on your MacBook and AirDrop enabled, then you can get a call.
Yeah, we have a call.
All right.
Hi, you're on GeekSpeak.
Hey, guys, it's Donna. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. Hey, Donna, do you use AirDrop?
I use AirDrop quite a bit, actually, for photos.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah, it works great.
Yeah. So indulge me for a minute. I'll finish explaining to Marty what it does. But basically, you take a photo on that. You use it for photos a lot. You take a photo on your phone, and as long as it's enabled on your MacBook as well, when you go hit the little send to icon, the little page with the arrow. You get your whole list of things and AirDrop. It basically shows a picture of all the AirDrop enabled destinations where you could send it to, and you just, you know, it says Louis MacBook, just tap on it.
Oh, okay.
And a minute later, my MacBook goes, oh, you got new stuff, you know, and it just puts it in your downloads folder.
Wow.
So,
effortless.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. It's,
you know, I used it when I was in Colorado. I had a client who had two Macs and two new Macs, and they had a satellite connection.
Mm.
So I had to download a print driver, and I didn't want to download it because it takes bandwidth, right?
Sure.
So I downloaded it to one computer, and then I AirDropped it to the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lifesaver that way. And it's even better than emailing it to yourself, because even if you email it to yourself, just to save you from having to go and search it down on the second computer, it still goes all the way, you know, up to the mothership and back down over a satellite connection. So it's Yeah. So,
and then I also used it when I was at the Carbondale Mountain Fair this summer, and I would take a photo, and then I would try and send it to anybody's phone who was enabled. And I just wanted—I don't know if anybody accepted it, you know—but I would just take random pictures and then try and. Anyway, it's pretty funny.
Well, you know that there could be a whole dating, trend going on there. You know, you just basically go into a bar, and you know, if you're a swinging single, and you know, it's, you know, everybody has an agreement that they, you know, make sure that the avatar for their device has their picture on it, and you just go in, and it's like, you know. You just basically spam.
That's right.
Spam all the available people of the opposite sex in the bar, or not.
That's right.
So
there you go.
Yeah.
I used it also at a family reunion where quite a few of us had iPhones, and then people were just taking pictures, and we would just AirDrop them. So that worked out well.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to mention a couple of things, if you have a second.
Please.
One is I'm sitting on my iPad last night, and at the top of the screen it says, you know, people who live in Carlsbad and have a Toyota RAV4, blah, 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 should click here or something.
Uh-huh.
I thought, now, that's really scary because, I mean, I know that Google is always kind of watching where you're clicking and what you're doing, but how the heck does it know that I have a RAV4?
Hmm. I don't know, because I didn't even know that you had a RAV4, and we're pretty good friends. So,
I bought it from somebody who is it was a lease return from a friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
So it's a pretty nice car, but yeah.
So you're wondering how Google knew that you had a RAV4? That's
right,
and
because
you
clearly,
never like specifically like said, okay, Google, I have a RAV4.
Right. Yeah. I don't think
not that
I did.
It would have learned it. Not that it would have learned it that way. Maybe Marty could tell us.
Do you do any searches related to your vehicle?
Not that I certainly remember, and I bought it over a year ago.
Hmm.
So I don't know. That was really freaking me out, though. But
do
I don't.
You, do you,
you know,
pair
I don't
your
like...
phone with your car?
Yes.
Maybe they had a little conversation. You know.
Well, maybe, but it is really freaking me out.
I don't blame you.
I think they listen to phone calls. That's what listened to Joe Scarborough once on Morning Joe, and he was saying that he's just talking on the phone to someone, and next day he's getting ads on Facebook, what he's saying. So that's why I figured I'd turn the microphone off here.
And when you say they, you're talking about Google.
Yeah,
right?
Some ads. Okay. He had ads based on, like, he's talking about running, and the next day he's got all these ads about running gear.
Yeah.
You know, so.
When actually he was just, he had diarrhea, you know, it was actually,
yeah. It could have been
everything to do with actual running. Right.
So I don't really trust, I still don't trust phones with a microphone turning off. I almost think, I don't know if this would work, but have something that goes into the phone where you plug in a microphone and just cut it off. Mm. So it's looking for the microphone that you've connected to your phone.
Oh, there you go.
But it's dead.
It's like a dead end.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously the camera you could you cover that up, but with microphones you just never really know if they're really off.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good.
That's
question.
That's true.
Yeah,
and I'm curious because I know at home we have an Echo, Amazon Echo Dot.
Oh, it's listening too. Yeah,
it's always listening, right? Because it's waiting for you to say, whatever. So Alexa. But the other question I had, if you guys have any advice on a camera besides my phone camera, what to look for in a camera that would be light enough that I could take it with me to Europe, but nice enough that it's better than my cell phone.
Hmm.
What's your target for expenditure?
I don't know. I'm just... thought I'd look for a new, for a camera because I haven't had one in a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea.
Like $1,000?
Maybe, probably less than that. Maybe maybe closer to like 500 or
okay,
700.
Five to 700. Okay.
Something like that.
All right.
I've always really liked the Panasonic Lumix cameras. I had one.
What do you like about them?
They come with Leica glass. That's the main thing I like about them, and then the color rendering is really nice, and I haven't had one in 5 or 6 years since I dropped my last one. I was hoping that the GH4, which is their prosumer camera, was going to drop price when the GH5 came out, but that was not the case. So they stayed about the same price, and it's in the $1,000 range, depending on what lens you choose to go with it, because it has Micro Four Thirds, so you can choose what lens to put on the camera. It's a little...
And can you replace it, too? Like, if I wanted a wide-angle lens, can I change lenses on it?
Yeah, then there's several companies, Olympus, Panasonic, and a few others, that make Micro Four Thirds lenses, so you can interchangeably use those lenses that are built to that standard. So there's a bunch of options for lenses available. You can do telephoto, you can do wide-angle, you can do macro, depending on what you purchase.
Okay. Well, that gives me something to look for. Well, I appreciate it. I'll let you guys, I'll free up the phones here.
You let us geek it up.
That's right. Hey, thanks so much. I'll listen for the rest of the show.
Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You too.
Yeah,
bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right.
Oh, speaking of cameras, Louis, another little story to tell about the Pixel. So there's an article about a guy was comparing the iPhone X versus the Pixel. And, of course, he was picking the iPhone X over almost everything except the battery life of the Pixel. But he did grant that the camera, through Google's image processing, is really spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, here's another phone call.
All right.
Hi, you're on live with GeekSpeak.
Well, thank you. I guess I have a question about ways that you might know that your phone is being tracked or is has some kind of surveillance on it.
Very good question.
There's just a couple of things that, so my son is going through a pretty contentious divorce, and he just recently discovered a bunch of photos that he has no idea how they got on his phone from his ex-wife, pictures of her.
Hmm. Wow. And do we know what kind of phone it is?
It is an iPhone.
Okay. I am going to roll the dice and bet that... he's probably that his ex-wife has access to one of her devices is still bound to his iCloud account or the same iCloud account that his phone is attached to.
Oh.
So the best medicine against that would be for him, and probably straight across the board is to make an inventory of all of his online accounts and go in and methodically change the password. For all of them, because that'll basically any device that she happens to be using the same iCloud account on, it'll kick her off, or it'll challenge her for a password, and then she'll have to either put it in or no longer be associated connected to that account.
Right.
So,
is it possible for her to be able to have his microphone on and actually listen to his conversations and?
It's possible. I forget whether through the Find My iPhone feature. But the good news is that what I just described, if he changes that password, it's going to any possibility of her being able to track the phone or activate the camera or anything on it she'll lose that capability by changing that password, you know.
Okay. So, well, what other things besides, I mean, what other online accounts would there be besides iCloud?
Oh, I'm just talking about any accounts that he happened to maybe have shared passwords with her on. I mean, whether it's banking,
email.
Email.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, just any way that he accesses the internet, he should, you know, make sure that, you know, if they date back to, you know, when they were together, he should change those passwords.
Louis, do you recommend that he, wipe his phone?
Probably wiping the phone would probably not be that advantageous. Changing that password should change, should solve that. But the other thing you could do is, make an inventory of all the apps that are on the phone. And in case somewhere along the line, I don't know all the history, but in case along the line, she got a hold of the phone and installed an app on it. Because there are apps that are designed for, you know, like parents keeping track of what their kids are up to whatever, things like that. So he might want to, make an inventory of all the apps and the ones that that are not super familiar, Google them and figure out what exactly they do, you know.
Okay.
So,
I've seen some just make kind of a generic there's just you're looking through your app inventory and there's just generically named app on there and then you Google it and it doesn't exist.
That's what I was wondering. That's what I was wondering, if you wipe the phone, maybe just start from scratch and you know all the apps on the phone.
But if you can't restore it, in that case you have to.
No, you wouldn't restore.
You just have to re-download all the apps, re-log into all your online.
So the almost be almost like you're you bought a new phone and you're starting from scratch. But then you know that maybe there's not something buried there.
Yeah, the only way to be absolutely sure, probably the most, I think Marty's getting to the most expedient way of being sure, it would be to wipe the phone.
And what is that? What do you do?
On an iPhone, there's actually a setting under General that basically allows you, go into the Settings app and you go to the General item. And somewhere in there, they may have changed it with the newest version of the iOS. I haven't been there since the update. But there's a place where you can basically say, reset to factory, I think is what it's called. And it'll go ahead and wipe it. And then, like I said, the most important thing is for him to, change that iCloud password.
Right.
Because if he does wipe it, if he decides to go that route, and after he wipes it, he's going to want to reassociate it with his iCloud account. And if he doesn't change the password and she's lurking in there, he's going to be right back where he started, you know?
Yeah.
So,
it was kind of surprising because he found there were 60 photographs of her.
Yeah. Almost guaranteed that her phone is still attached to one of his accounts.
Yeah, iCloud can. iCloud has a lot of nooks and crannies in the settings, and there's plenty of room for unexpected behaviors with it. You know, it's like I was going through the address book on my phone, and I've got three different groups, contact groups in my address book. That, I mean, to this moment, I really don't know where they're coming from. I haven't been able to get rid of them. But,
wow.
I mean, as long as I don't add anything to them, nobody's kind of lurking on, you know. And my worst concern is that somehow or another I picked them up from a client, and I don't want to just go in and delete them, you know. I don't mess their stuff up, you know. So anyway, that mystery continues. But anyway, so those are your options there. Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
Sure.
I'll
Thanks
try to pass
calling.
On the information.
Yep.
Thank you so much for being there, guys.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Yep. The podcast of this broadcast is available on kdnk.org.
Woohoo. Great information.
Man.
Our phone line is open. Oh, 963-2976, but we have a call. Hi, you're on GeekSpeak.
Yeah, good afternoon. Hey, when I go to my email, I'll open up an email, And then on certain emails, when I want to do a link, some of them open right away. Some of them take a minute or two, and then some of them don't even open. And that's just happened like the last week or so. But it's gotten a lot more of they just it won't link. I don't know what's going on.
What mail system do you use? Do you use like Gmail? Do you use Outlook or some other client?
Outlook, yeah.
Okay. And then what opens up? So let's say it's acting normally. You go into Outlook. You go to somebody sends you a link in an email, and you click on it. Does it open up in Internet Explorer, Firefox, Chrome, something else?
Firefox. Yeah, and you know I can go to all my emails well enough. When I go to click on a link, they just some of them won't even open, and some of them take a while.
Okay. So you're just And you use Firefox normally for your primary browser?
Yes.
All right. And it doesn't act funny there or anything like that normally?
I mean, no, huh? You're just on Firefox. Been doing that lately.
All right. Well, the first thing I would do is 6 days ago, Firefox came out with a major update. Version 57 came out. So I'd make sure that you're updated to the latest version. There's a lot of speed optimizations and things like that. Came with that, so I would make sure you're up to date. You can do that by going to the little hamburger and then going down to help and then going to about Firefox. It'll tell you what version you're on, and it should be 57.0 is the latest. After that, then we get into things like resetting Firefox, which will basically take your old profile, put it on your desktop, and then make a fresh profile, and sometimes that helps significantly as well.
Okay.
Yep. And so that's under help. Excuse me. That's under help as well. You can go to the help and then let's see. What is it? I'll go find it. Let's see. Firefox help tour. Oh, where is it? Troubleshooting and information. And then you can say refresh Firefox.
Okay.
Those are the first two things I would try. The other thing would be going into your control panel and going to internet options and seeing what your default web browser is and changing it and then changing it back.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Those would be the first things I would try.
Great. Just well, I'll sure give it a try. Thanks for your help.
Mm-hmm.
All right. One of my fans called in and said that they can hardly hear me.
You need to get closer to the mic.
Is that what it is?
No. You're on.
Crank me up, man.
I'll crank you up.
All right. Okay. That's better.
Oh, right.
Actually, I had will. You louder than Matt. Yeah. So.
You know, I'm such a wallflower, right? So.
So to make a long story short about my camera.
Yes.
So when we were on the bridge and we did the walk, I lost you. And then I got a picture of the first person who drove across the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And I found her on the Roaring Fork Traffic Facebook page. And long story short, she wanted the picture. I gave it to her. And it actually was used not only on the web version of the Glenmont Post Independent, but in the print version.
Nice.
So that's how high the resolution of this my cell phone camera was.
Wow.
So I was very impressed.
So that was your picture.
Yeah, it was my picture. And the funny thing is I didn't even focus it. I didn't like push the button and focus. I was just clicking.
Yeah.
And the resolution was good enough to use in a print version of a paper. So
wow.
Yeah. So that is good. I think that's my test. That's my a testament to how good the camera is on the Pixel 2.
Oh, that's a great story for sure. So, yeah, I was trying to find information on how to factory reset an iPhone X. But in the meantime, I wanted to talk about there has been, I don't know if you guys have had any experience with this, but I've got one client who has been getting every 10 minutes a spam phone call. And they basically, it's what they're trying to do is they're trying to get her to go to some particular website. They're trying to steal her Gmail password is basically what they're trying to do. And they're telling her that her account is all hosed up and that in order to fix it, she needs to go to such and such a URL. And it's a URL that looks like a Gmail login. And trying to get her to put in her current password. And so I just wanted to kind of put that on people's radar that that is a scam. Gmail, Google will never call you.
Yeah, Google,
if there's a
Microsoft
problem. you know,
the IRS.
Yeah, none of those guys will call you to tell you there's a problem with your computer. You know, we've said it before. We'll say it again. But it's very insistent. She's getting them. They are coming from all kinds of different phone numbers. And don't give in thinking that, God, they won't stop calling. I'll just go ahead and do what they say to get them to stop doing it. You just have to screen your calls, you know.
Yep. So. I always screen all my calls.
Yeah, me too.
All right, another fine edition of Geek Speak. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Louis, from Louis the Computer Guy.
Hey, thank you, Modern Marty from Blue Bee Interactive.
And Matt McBrayer from Roaring Fork Help Desk.
Have a great evening, everyone.
We'll see you next time on Geek Speak.